sights and traveled many miles, shook a thousand hands and seen my share of smiles. I've caused some great concern and told one too many lies, and now I see the world through these subtle jaded eyes. So what if I threw a party and all my friends are there? Acquaintances, relatives, the girls who never care.
You'll have a host around these hooligans in a big light out the door.
Side by side with Sister Barbara.
She growls and Bobby Orr and invites a Flanagan.
Replace the window you smashed down.
Oh, and apologize to Frodo.
For pissing on his couch.
I'll see Mrs. McAuliffe and so many others soon. I'll say I'm sorry for what I did, sleepwalking in her room. Invited Mamma Nino.
He'd tell you to get a
party. Well, this time, Tom, I don't think so.
It's a neighborhood reunion.
But now we'd get along. Van Morrison would be there and he'd sing me one last song.
With a backup band of bass players to keep us up all night.
We had some four-string troubadours and Newton's old fat mic.
Oh, the indicator now to get smoked. It's dark and Johnny Fitz.
But there's a backup in the bathroom because the badge has got the shit.
Yeah.
I've got some weird illness. I don't know what it is. Just fucking. Yeah, I'm always sick. But just. No, I'm sicker than usual. I'll survive. I'll be strong. Watch this.
You don't have AIDS or anything, do you?
Probably. But that's not the illness. No. I only got it off you. Didn't know you could catch shit like that over the internet, did you?
I do. Dude, I'm all of a sudden I've lost 45 pounds.
Oh,
and it's really weird, you know. It happened within 2 days, and I'm throwing up, and I'm looking real gaunt, and I don't know what the fuck my problem is. Maybe it's good I'm losing 45 pounds, but maybe if I keep losing 45 pounds, I'm not going to be around a while. But how's it going, man? How you been lately?
Oh, all's good. I'm plodding on. I've had one of those, you know, the week where you think you can manage to get everything done and you just get nothing done whatsoever. I mean, I'm talking about, I've got fucking zilch of everything I ever wanted to get done this week done, full stop. But don't know. More positive stuff will probably appear next week. I mean, the only good thing to come from this week was I had a rant to Stephen Eldridge is in. Hey, Stephen. I had an absolute rant and a half before with Kate over the new episode of the Ghost Adventures. I'm going to go into it in a bit more detail shortly. I'm just going to prepare Kate because I've actually gone all techie for another 5 minutes of evilness.
I watched it last... Hold on one sec.
Go ahead. See, you've caught
God
it over
damn you, dude. You gave it to me, man. You gave me the plague or something like
fucking
that.
Fucking, I emailed you then. Like, what the fucking...
I shouldn't have been eating out of the same porridge bowl you do, so...
Dude, it's like, you know, it's like surrounded by the dead and dying.
Oh, man, dude. Yeah, I started to watch it last night. You know how you put on shows? Sometimes you sleep on TV and you turn, like, the timer on. It turns off after an hour or so or something like that.
Yeah.
And I had the show on, and I was listening to it. And then I started watching it. And it was the Sally House, right?
Yeah. Don't go too much into detail on it, because I've actually...
No. That's your rant. This is all you. This is your baby.
Hell yeah.
This is all you, bro. Well, we got good. Mickey on hold right here. We'll bring him in a little bit. But
okay.
Yes, but yeah. So that sounds. How your week sounds like any other week. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like you expect. Like I'd like to say in a glamorous world that you know, I woke up on Sunday morning, went out and took some amazing photographs. I got bored. Then I decided to go diving. No. It was just not that good. It's like the most boringest week you could have ever put me in is this week. It's just like I have literally just plodded on as shit as it sounds. And yeah. I think the most geekiness part, the best part of my week so far is I've been having a little play around with like very high end voice recorders over the past couple of days in work. We've got a new range of there's a few new types of recording. And I've been just, you know, when you dangle a carrot in front of a donkey and he wants the carrot, right? I'm the donkey who got a chance to play around with a carrot beforehand. And I've had to play around with some of the new Zoom recorders. There's a new one out at the moment, a new Zoom audio recorder with a camera built into it. I think it's called the Q4. And you know what, right?
Would that be the one you showed me originally? It kind of looks like a Sony, or would it be the one I was talking about? I showed you. Is it worth it or not? You know, it's got ball on it.
No. This one's slightly different. Here's what I'm going to do. Chat room time again. I'm going to post a picture of it in the chat room, and it'll just give you something to look at for those people in the chat room. But I put it this way, I wish I could afford one. But to be fair, I've got no use nor purpose for it. It just looks fucking cool. It's a Zoom recorder that looks like... It's a camera. It's got the two Zoom mics at the back and it's got a flip-out screen. It's got audio inputs and HDMI outputs on it. It's a Zoom Q4, it's called. Zoom Handy Recorder Q4. It looks like a cool piece of equipment. And the only problem I'd ever have with owning one of them... Right, 130-degree wide-angle lens, that's cooler. The only problem I'd have with owning it is that would have to be converted to run night vision, and I'd fucking do it. I'd buy one and rip it apart and do it, and then I'd feel bad afterwards because I'd ripped that much money to pieces. I think it's about £240, it's about $300 and something. $300. Yeah, and, you know, for a recorder, just for audio, I'd be a bit dubious ripping it apart. But, I don't know, I'm saying I'd be dubious to rip it apart, but bear in mind, I converted two of our cameras that I didn't even think about doing. I just thought, screw it, I'll get... You know when you just have that moment where you just think, you just don't think what you're doing through, you just think, oh, screw it, I'll just do them, and converted them both to run night vision, and then realised that after the fact, I was like, really, did I just rip 30 screws out or something to do that? But no, as I said, I got a chance to play around with one of them. I got a chance to play around with a few of their audio recorders today. And I think a couple of weeks ago we had a conversation with somebody on air, and I think it was literally somebody in the chat room said, audio is the way forward. And I'm starting to think, yes, it is, but I'm starting to think, yes, it is on a more debunking scale. I can't see audio pulling really credible evidence.
Yeah, Well, because, I mean, people get these EVPs and stuff like that. And think about it. I mean, if it's digital, it could pick up something like transmission of that, auditory hallucinations, such as, you know, you think you heard this. And, of course, you know, they show on these TV shows, you know, they pop it up what it says. And all of a sudden, that's all you hear because of that. But, I think audio is, but it's got to be done right. I mean, it's got to be done right. I personally, I was thinking about this because I was talking to this group one time, and they made, like, a great argument on this. I asked this group, I go, do you guys, when you present your, let's say you catch an EVP, when you present it to the person at the house or, you know, what have you, and they say we don't because that's the first start of contamination. They were saying that, you know, play it as is and let the person figure out what they think it says. I agreed with it, actually. I was like, wow, that's kind of like not a bad idea because that you're not missing that first step of cleaning it up. Who knows what you're going to do to it? But I mean, stuff like that. So
there was a meme.
I don't know, man.
There was a meme of a picture of Zach Bagans, yeah? And the picture of Zach Bagans is he's standing there, night vision camera, and he's got the confused look on his face. And above it says something like MPHFPFPHHP, like just a random jumble of letters. And then underneath it's got Zach, two colons, or the colon symbol, Zach. It said it's a demon or something like that. It's just literally what random mishmash what is and his interpretation is underneath. And do you know what, it's perfect. The best way of putting it is I own a Zoom recorder amongst many other fucking recorders. And do you know how much evidence I've pulled through on my Zoom recorder? Absolutely zero. Nothing, not a thing, not a single iota. I have used it more for interviewing than I have for recording audio and trying to catch EVPs. And don't get me wrong, I've used it in a million situations. Do you know what I have caught on it, though?
What?
I've caught airplanes, right? I've caught chickens, go figure. I've actually got audio of chickens, yeah? We were investigating by a farm. And in the distance, you can just hear chicken noises. I'm like, what the fuck was that? And it was only the fact that it records such a good quality that I hired the gain up in Audacity, and I just heard it, and I was like, that's a chicken. I really just caught a chicken. That's the reason I investigate the paranormal, because the chickens in fields and I can hear them. I was like, oh, swallow me up, man. Swallow me up. But yeah, audio recording, unless your voice record, this is all I'm seeming to notice at the moment, unless your voice recorder is an Olympus voice recorder with a single microphone in your hand, pointed out in the middle of nowhere, and picks up a whisper in the distance, obviously good quality microphones don't seem to matter towards EVP. That's all I can seem to pull from it. And I know I'm shooting myself in the foot because I'll probably change my tune in a couple of weeks' time and somebody catches something really good on EVP. But unless people are catching decent EVPs on Zoom recorders, or not just Zoom recorders, really high-quality recorders, Tascams if you want to, or Lesis recorders, if they catch it on them, on a PCM recorder, then I'll start holding more credence towards it. But no, people are just pulling them through on really shitty quality MP3 recordings, which are totally full of loss. It's just rant. Accept my rant. I'm going to move on from it, though. I need to.
No, not at all. Rants are good. Rants are healthy.
Okay, right. I'm going to go straight into my Ghost Adventures rant then very quickly before, obviously, we cause any shit. Do you want to bring Mickey on now, or do you want me to...
Bring Mickey on and
have
him hear your rant. Let's get his take too.
Oakley dokley.
All right. Mickey, what's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Can you hear us?
Good,
oh my
man.
God.
Yeah, I hear you fine, huh?
Hello, Mickey.
Do you know what? Mo, Kurt, I've got to say this. Happy New Year, guys, because it's been a really long time, hasn't it?
Jesus, it has, mate.
Oh, it's
Happy
been
New
a while,
Year.
Dude.
Oh, first things first
Happy
as well.
Happy New Year's to you too, man.
Mickey, am I right in believing that Courtney's on the up?
Yes. Yeah, good Courtney's man. Doing really well at the moment. She's off her nasal gastric tube, which means that she can eat like any other child. And boy, does she.
I was about to say that, yeah. I seen pictures you put up on Facebook a couple of days ago of her sitting in a McDonald's, am I right in believing?
Oh, yeah, she was definitely sitting in McDonald's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Polished off Mum's Big Mac, I think.
Yeah. Did she have the gherkins, though?
Did she have gherkins? No. She saved the gherkins for me.
Oh, good, 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 good. You have to have McDonald's gherkins are for the dads of the family. I enjoy the gherkins, it's about it.
I love the gherkins. She's doing really well. Thanks for asking, but...
No,
yeah,
that's cool.
She's got to the stage where she's only consuming yogurts and loads of particular brand of yogurts. I'm not going to advertise, but yeah, she's yogurts, Milky Bars, chocolate biscuits, you name it, she'll have it. She's putting on a pound a month now, so give it a three, four months, she'll be back in clinic, you know, dealing with a weight disorder again.
Do you know what's more funny is the fact that after all that she's been through, she's on a solid diet of chocolate. It's like she hasn't had much luck up to now. She's obviously had a bit of a battle on her hands, and then all of a sudden, the battle she's got now is going to be with her weight when she comes to the decision where she has to actually stop eating Milky Ways like they're going out of fashion. But no, while she can, she should. That was all good.
Also, what I want you guys to know as well is I'm joined in the NLPI UK studio by two people I met during the course of my recce of the project that we're about to talk about. And I want to introduce them to you guys. First of all, I want to introduce Kim, and I need that classic NLPI round of applause. So Kim is the owner of a shop called Wings of Light, a well-being centre, and it's a hive of activity at the moment. We'll talk more about that later. But I want to do an introduction, so would you please welcome one of my guests here live in the studio. Her name is Kim, so let's give it up for Kim.
Hello.
What?
Hey.
Hiya, you alright?
You're okay. Why isn't anybody ever a scouser? I mean, come on. I know you're all down London ways and by Enfield and that, but none of you, I mean, Kate, you're not even a...
They're all out taking car tyres and wheels and things.
Yeah.
You and I are, we're just kind of like on the fringe of life, I guess.
Yeah, I just feel like a translator for the world, mate. Or I need a translator, I don't know. I don't know which way that card falls, you know, to be fair. But no, it's pleased to meet you. Wings of Light, is it called, sorry?
It is, yeah. Wings of Light Wellbeing Centre in Ware.
In where?
In where?
Where?
I fell for that, didn't I?
Why the
I'm
hell?
I'm falling for it again.
Dude, I swear, you come from a place, you live in a place, right, and fall for it. Really, come on, that was bad. I'm gonna let that one go. I really have to let that slide. But nevertheless, no, I'm pleased to meet you. And yeah, I mean, you're keeping good company. We're keeping Mickey in check, of course. That's quite cool. And
yeah, sure.
Good.
And right. We've got one other as well. I'm going to introduce you to her as well. She's a lively little friendly little soul, and her name is...
Hi, I'm Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn, Carolyn, what's up? Okay?
Well, I can't understand you.
That was Kurt.
Oh, hi, Kurt.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Hanging in there, sitting in a studio, trying to, you know, get through this. Knock it out.
Same here.
Oh, God help you. I've got somebody to introduce as well. I just thought I'd let you know there's somebody with me at the moment. It doesn't talk, though. It's my dog. He's just sitting next to me on the floor looking like a teddy bear. I've got a new addition to my...
I was going to say, it's a bit unusual for you to bring a probation officer home.
Oh, yes, because I'm a gypsy now. I'm a scouser, so all scouser. No, actually, whereabouts in London do you live? North London, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Paranormal investigations, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, that could mean anything. I've came across people who, like, you know, put names into things, but yeah. Nevertheless, I'm going to move on because I was going to start going all gypsy on you, but I can't do that. I really can't. If I start with the gypsy jokes and all that, or the Essex jokes, I'll just get myself in trouble. So I'm going to move swiftly.
Well, we're not far from Essex, so if you want to have a go, you're more than welcome to.
I've also
got to introduce one other, and her name is Louise, and she's someone that you may have recognised once or twice in passing. But she's
right
also here live in the studio.
Am I right
mate?
In believing that this is the same person who keeps you out of prison?
The is one it? And only, mate. The one and only.
So you brought your probation officer? That's impressive. I like how you've done that. accept that. Yeah. So hang on, just I know this is not paranormal in any way, shape or form, but for everybody there in your studio now, Mickey, right? Explain Joey Essex, please. What happened?
Joey Essex?
Yeah, can you explain what happened there? Somebody
we don't understand Joey Essex either.
Do you know what the best part is? They asked him on TV once, how many sides has a square got? And he actually sat there and went, well, it's a trick question, isn't it, right? I'm like, what? I just love that one advert that he's done, though, where he sits there, the cancer advert. And I hate the advert, but nevertheless, he stands there. He goes, I'm Joey Essex from the telly. And you know, when you just look at somebody and you think, oh, my God, you've actually got past, I don't know, school without hurting yourself, you impressive individual. But that's my rant over, nevertheless. Now, okay, so...
I want to know one thing, okay, about Joey Essex.
Go ahead, dude.
I mean, I've got no idea how he sprung to fame and fortune. All I know is that he's from Essex and he's as thick as shit. But when you think about it, he's not really that thick, is he? I mean, come on, he asks a lot of questions and he's in the learning process. Okay, he should have done it when he was six, but he's learning now, so... Credit where credit's due.
Do you know what? I'm going to say one thing.
He's a totty, mate.
Of course he does. Look at his hair. Do you know the one thing I want to say, though, right? And I'm begrudged saying this, right?
He's taking a piss, mate.
No, I said, look at his hair. We're not looking for your hair. There's a difference. I actually like Joey Essex. I think Joey Essex is a funny dude. And I don't know if he plays on stupidity to get himself where he is. But I think I'd like to sit there and actually... I'd love a conversation with him, and the conversation would start, what the fuck are you on about? I'd just love to start the conversation with that and just see where it landed up. But I think
he's going to do.
Go for it.
Because every show that me and Kurt do, we have a challenge normally. And one of the challenges I remember Kurt, this challenge was, if you don't cook a British meal, you have to walk around on your hands and knees with your pants around your ankles and a slice of lemon in your bum cheek, barking like a dog. Remember, that's your forfeit.
I normally do that.
Okay, well, here's what happened with that story.
Awkward.
That happened to be when I was with my ex-girlfriend. And
did you ever get the lemon back out? Yeah.
I wish I had that jingle to find it.
The lemon's still stuck in there. I got to have surgery next week. So it's kind of hurting a little bit right now. It's a little dried out and, you know, kind of cutting up my insides. But, I was supposed to do it, and the thing was, I was supposed to cook a proper British meal, and I think I said blood pudding.
It was a roast dinner.
There was a roast dinner. A roast dinner was it.
Yep. I'll never forget it.
I started it, and then all of a sudden, when kids become teenagers, that's when all hell breaks loose. Well, all hell broke loose, because I bought chocolate for my ex and for her daughter, you know, to be fair, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And her daughter was just, you know, just kind of just it wasn't playing along with it, you know. She was fucking about too much, and it was starting to get on my nerves, you know, because I wanted to get it done. I wanted to cook. I was hungry too, man. You know how Mary loved to eat. So anyhow, she next thing you know, and she doesn't do. I say I won't give her candy, so I went out to the car to get the candy. She slammed the door, and she goes, "Don't you ever fucking come back." And then, then the mom and the daughter go at it like tooth and nail in the hallway. And I'm just shaking my head going, what the hell did I get myself into? I lost by proxy. I don't know, you know, what the hell went on.
Dude, that's just
but I wish I had a video. I wish I had the new Zoom with the sound and I'd record it and I could send it to you guys. And you got...
Oh, dude, wear it like a badge. Now, do you know what? I can understand, right? That was a forfeit that you had to do, otherwise you would have ended up in prison. Good cop out though.
Yeah,
really was a good cop out. I'll give you that.
I tried though. I did try.
That was almost as lame as Mary does dick.
No, you can't beat that. You cannot beat that. Mary loves dick. Remember.
Dick.
Mary loves dick. We never forget that one. Oh, shit.
And for those who don't know what we're talking about, have a look. Most Haunted, Mary Loves Dick. Just type it in on YouTube and you'll find it. I've actually got a clip of that now, actually. Just happens to be on my studio.
Go for it.
I'm not going to... Shall I?
Go on. Why not?
Let's do it.
Because, basically, I know the way Robert walks around, and I know Mary does, but there's this decent, calm, and spiritual activity there with...
You all right?
Mary loves Dick.
By the way, because he's talking away, he's being all sweet and innocent, and you just listen to him go, right, okay, and you just hear him go, and start choking on something. I don't really think it's just Mary who loved Dick. I'm just saying, the way he started the choking sounds, there's more behind that.
You can see ball sack indentations on his chin, too.
I was
kind of really threw me off at first.
I was waiting for that to go one step eviler. Do you know what the worst part is, right? He lives like 12 miles away from me, you know. I can't shake that shit. He lives... We end up under the same rainstorm, put it that way. It's just... I'm not happy about it. Nevertheless, right, did you know he's actually a reputable medium now?
What,
a reputable medium? Now, yeah, apparently... everyone seems to have forgot about the fact he faked shit. But he's back on the TV with another TV show helping out another paranormal investigation group. And their quote was that they work with only the best, the only the best reputable mediums. And I cringed when I read it.
In the pub at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes, indeed. Do you know when you listen to something, you think that's like saying... You know, when you buy a car from a really shitty garage and he goes, yeah, it's a good runner. It's been totally fine. I've never done anything to it. It's never been clocked or anything like that. And you look at the car and you think you're stolen. You're just fucking stolen. That was exactly what happened with that. But anyway, I'm gonna move swiftly on because I've actually... Did any of you guys get to see the Ghost Adventures episode which just came out? The Sally House one from America. There's a reason. I've got a rag on it.
I haven't seen that, but I'm due to see that tonight, actually. Funny enough, you should say that. But we did see the other one. We liked the Irish one. That was all right.
Go on, sorry.
How do you think Ghost Adventures are doing? Because I remember last year, you know, we had a little bit of a fight with Zach, didn't we, Kurt, on live.
We had a little to-do with Zach. I got into a W. Mark Constantino on Facebook, like going at it, tooth and nail.
What do you think now? I mean, okay, they've lost Nick, haven't they?
Yeah.
Nick's no longer on the show. That was a quiet one. But do you feel they're going in the right direction? Because I feel like when I look at the equipment they're using, it's very exciting, Mo. I mean, it's almost like the stuff that we discussed 2 years ago.
Well, do you know what the funniest thing is, right? Let me just have a little 5 seconds on this one, right? They have ran the show into the ground, fact, right? Nick left for a reason, and if you've been listening to me and Kate's mad rant over the past couple of months, I spotted something on Twitter. You know when you catch something out the corner of your eye flicking through Twitter? And somebody posted, will Nick ever be coming back to Ghost Adventures? And Zach came back with... Just because you share a show with somebody doesn't necessarily mean you have to be their friend. So they've actually fell out. Literally have fell out. Now, my opinion why they fell out is, do you know that ghost, that Chad Lindbergh's got a show out? Where all they do is search for portals or whatever the fuck it's called. Now, they their show is under a production company which is owned by Nick Groff. So I've got a funny feeling Nick's put more effort into that and cut everybody out, and there's been a bit of a falling out. But that's just me being a gossip bitch. But as for the equipment that they're using, a lot of the equipment they're using, they're just clutching at what Bill Chappell builds, and it's not very good. Like, they've got this... did you see the Bell Witch episode, by any chance?
I haven't seen that, no. Yeah.
No.
Was that the cave thing, wasn't it?
The cave, yeah.
I saw that. I like the the gadgets that they were hanging from the ceiling, but we've got a take on that will wipe... We'll wipe
indeed.
The floor with Ghost Adventures, haven't we?
Indeed, you have.
You know what I think of their equipment?
Do you know what I think of that equipment? Do you know the SLSX cam? Cost them $1,275 to buy. I set up the same concept for just on £50, £60, including tripod. It does the same job. The only problem is it's not strapped to each other. It's not sellotaped together like theirs is. It doesn't measure distance. Actually, no, it does measure distance. It just doesn't in the way that his does. And you know what? All it is a glorified Kinect sensor. And it ruined me day when I seen them release it as a standalone unit. And I thought, this is going to be really good. And you know, when you look at something, you think, how are you a standalone unit? Somebody has just strapped a few things together and said, there you go, and sold it on. And I thought, that's pretty bullshit. There's another thing Bill Chappell released, which was a laser microphone.
Yeah,
I'd done something like that last year, and it was so easy to do, but all of a sudden, Bill Chappell strapped his name to it and started selling it for a couple of $100. You're like, are you kidding me? How are you surviving through life on other people's hacks? This was stuff that was done years ago that everybody else copies, and then all of a sudden he copies it and tries to sell it off as his own. It's not his own stuff. He's using other people's theories and ideas and trying to sell them off as his.
He's using mine, that's a shame, isn't it? But, The bottom line is what we've got to do, and we've spoken about this many, many, many years now. We've got to do our own. We've got to come out with our own British version of this kit and make it available to everybody because, like we said before, and we discussed this on many shows, we're just limited by the technology we've got. And once we start changing the technology, we start to get different results, as you know.
Indeed,
and
yeah.
Mo and I have discussed many, many times on air and off air and, you know, in bed together and stuff like that.
Indeed, you do.
We've spoken about the concepts that we have, and, you know, I'm kind of resigned to the fact that I'm never going to get a picture of Elvis, but I might just get his footsteps, which will be visually exciting and a bit more entertaining at events, for example, to see somebody walking across the room as opposed to saying, oh, my God, look, I can feel somebody walking across the room. It's all about interaction, and there's not so much interaction taking place these days.
No, no, no. See, one thing I pointed out about Ghost Adventures, and now I've seemed to notice more, because us as a group, the Hidden Liverpool group itself, we're doing a video project over the next couple of months, and what I'm going to do is I'm trying to show how you can do it on a cost-effective way, how you can investigate cost-effectively, how you can use equipment cost-effectively and do it all really, really cheap and do it properly, right? And I'm not saying what I do is properly, I'm just saying that what I do is better than what some people may do on investigation, where people spend more time looking at the screen of a camera than looking in front of them. I don't understand what a 3.5-inch screen can show you that's more than your full 20/20 vision.
Hey,
don't
listen, bud, don't knock 3.5 inches, you know.
I'd be impressed if I had 3.5 inches, put it that way. But nevertheless, as I said, there's not much you can pull from investigations when you spend your life looking at the flashing item in your hand, you know, like the K2 meter. And that's where, I don't know if you heard a few weeks ago, we interviewed Alessandro and...
From the Ghost Art.
Massimo.
Yes. And Massimo, I always get Massimo's name wrong, and I worry when I say it because he's just such a cool guy. Now, their piece of equipment, they've got every single thing, every single concept that they've put into it, they've put into it with a paranormal investigator in mind, even down to the light that the unit emits doesn't dazzle infrared cameras. It's just so much thought and theory put into it. That it does so much and saves it into a file, and you don't have to worry about it. You can leave it running if you wanted to, and it will take care of itself. That, in my eyes, is brilliant. Now, when you've got people like Ghost Adventures who stand there with a... Now, put in mind, these guys have got, $1,100 cameras on tripods, using them as lock-off cams. These have got a lot of money behind their equipment, yet they're still holding 30 and 40 pound voice recorders to catch audio.
Yeah.
Do you use Zoom recorders? I mean, I've seen them pull out a Zoom Q3, a Zoom H2N, and they've pulled out really heavy Zoom recorders and put them down. But they don't use them for audio recording. They use little Olympus ones, little four-year-old Olympus recorders. And where their technology is concerned, I think where the audio is concerned, the less quality behind the recording, the better chance of catching a background rattle or noise and discerning it for something else, or catching something else from it. It's the same as their cameras. They'll always tell you that their cameras are HD. When you see them, we'll go, this ball of light was caught on our HD night vision camera. And I've never worked out why it's such an important thing to tell you that it's HD, because other than the fact that they zoom in on it, there's no other reason for them to do it. But I think they're running the show into the ground. Fact. That's the way I can see it. They're running it into the ground in one long, tedious breath. Sorry.
To me, it just seems like it's a popular series and they're keeping the popularity going for as long as they can. But, you know, when you have popular series, you always have someone that comes along with a brand new idea, a brand new set of muscles and, you know, some good looks and all of a sudden. I mean, look at Britney Ghost Girls. We were going to interview them on the show way before Christmas, Kurt. You know, a bunch of good-looking American girls.
Yeah, I remember that.
Very wholesome. And, you know, when I spoke to them and said, hey, guys, you want to come on the show? They were, yeah, go and speak to our publicist. And I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, nobody's heard of you. We're here to promote you, and you've got a publicist. So the publicist isn't doing their job. And B, you've got to do your own promotion. You know that, Kurt.
It's all about DIY. Do it yourself.
Yeah, you've got to do it yourself. I mean, you know, with all due respect, I'm pushing my own buttons here tonight. And there's three ladies sitting here present. So, you know, you've got to do your own work. And that's the biggest problem. People do the investigations and they do the shows and they do it, and they want someone else to push their buttons and make them into celebrities. Well, forget the celebrity thing. You know, stick to what you're doing. You want to be a paranormal investigator, be a paranormal investigator. You want to be a TV star, be a TV star. There's plenty of porn shoots. There's plenty of shoots that you can go on. There's plenty of extra work. There's plenty of everything. But what I don't understand is when people come out and they say, right, here I am with my 150-pound camera in HD, and I'm going to film something that no one's seen before, and I'm going to put it out there as paranormal. How do you know it's paranormal if you haven't seen it before? You know, this is the bit that I can't understand. And how long have I been doing this? Well, about 25 minutes. And, you know, I think I've yet to get a ghost on camera.
Oh, yeah.
Come into the wings of light. You'll see loads.
Talking of wings of light.
Go for
hello,
it.
Hello, Kurt, by the way. I know you're back there. It's nice to hear Kurt.
See how we change that subject.
But Wings of Light is this location that is basically a shop in Ware in Hertfordshire. And if you don't know Ware, Google it, because it's a really interesting place. We had some success with the book Haunted Enfield, which was written last year. I think it was released last year. So what we want to do is we want to go back to Ware and produce another book for the Haunted series. Now, we're doing that at the moment, we're doing recces and visiting people in their place of work and in their homes, and we're putting ourselves out there. The press have got involved as well, so they're going to do a piece on us next week, which is great. But one of the first shops I went into, there's a story behind it, because it was actually wandering around in Ware in Hertfordshire, and we was looking at suitable locations. We came across this shop, and I was just drawn to the energy. The energy in this shop was just amazing. And I had to go in. I didn't really want to go in at first because I'm a bit nervous like that.
Charming.
But I had to go in. I just felt this compulsion.
Don't worry.
And when I did, I was just taken aback by the positive energy that I felt in the shop. And it was well designed. It was a wonderful place to be. Well, I got talking to a member of staff who just happens to be here today.
Hi.
And she tells me about some experiences. But experiences, every shop we went into in Ware, and we went into about 12 different shops, everyone had stories to tell. Everyone wanted to talk about their location. Everyone wanted to tell us about the fireplace, you know, the ornaments, little secrets and, you know, mysteries. So the book is going to be quite exciting. The documentary is going to be quite exciting as well. So I'm really looking forward to that. And we're going to start the investigations on the 27th of Feb.
Yep.
Cool. And that will be... The first investigation will be Did I say 20? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, 27th of February,
and that will take place at a location in where? I'm not going to say exactly where it is, because if we do, then people will turn up with their scary mask and go, boo.
Yeah.
But we're all looking forward to it. We don't know what to expect. The chances are we're not going to get anything.
Yeah,
because, you know,
will.
First night, we won't get anything. But the girls are kind of prompting me as to that we will.
Guarantee it.
Optimism.
Like Billy Circus at our place.
Well, you know what? Let's hear from the girls, because they've got so much to say about where they are, and that's why they're here tonight. So if it's all right with you guys, I'm going to hand you over to the girls. A, because I can have a fag break, and B, they smell much more nicer than I do.
Yeah, my microphone doesn't emit smell, sadly.
Mickey said he wants a fag break.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in America, yeah, fags. Yeah, I'm going to tell you that story of when I got out of the plane in L.A., landed at Los Angeles Airport, and I said, I'm dying for a fag, and the guy gave me a funny look. And then I said, listen, where can I get some fags? He said, fags? How many do you want, son? And I said, well, 20. And he went, fuck me, man. Yeah? And that's when I realised that fags means homosexual. I didn't know that, but, you know,
oh,
I'm very careful about whether I'm going to go home with 20 homosexuals.
I thought when he said, fuck me, man, I care to go, that'd make you go, okay, let's give it a go. Come with me. Yeah,
but 22 is my number, so if it had been 2, it would have been all right.
Yeah.
But the project that I'm working on is we're looking at about 6 months, Kurt. It's a six-month project. We're going to finish with a Halloween event for the participants. Anyone that's taken part will actually have a presentation of our evidence and the documentary and give them an opportunity to buy the book before anyone else. But let's hear from the girls. Let's hear what goes on in their home. Sorry, not in their home, in their place of work.
Both.
And home as well.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hand you guys over to Kim. Because Kim wants to tell you about her home and her place of work. But the place of work is so fascinating. I can't wait to get in there.
Superb. Go for it.
Hi, are you all right?
Hello there, Kim. You okay there?
Yeah, I'm cool. The whole concept of the business of the Wellbeing Centre was driven when I used to work at a place called Passmore's House in Harlow, Essex, which was a drug and alcohol rehab. And it was quite active there. It was an old museum. It used to do all the cooking for like the residents and the staff, etc. So it was quite active. Like, I used to do a lot of late nights there, and I just felt quite humbled that you know, they could communicate through me to the resident there. So that's where it sort of started, and that was about 6 years ago. I wanted to sort of make a wellbeing centre where we could help people to sort of like heal themselves, and that's how that part started. Then with the wellbeing centre, I was buying a lot of furniture from secondhand shops, and it was going into my house. And it was quite a lot. I couldn't get into my second bedroom. You know, I was stumbling over everything. And one night, I just sat down on the sofa. I thought, I'm really not alone. It just felt like Piccadilly Circus. They're sort of like, you know, humbling around their furniture as if to say, I didn't actually want this to leave my house. I wanted this to go to my children, etc. So I had to literally say, it's really okay. I'm going to jazz it up. It's going to go into a wellbeing centre where everyone's going to enjoy looking at it. It's okay.
Yeah.
I had to clean my house because there were comments that, no, I'm not happy with this. I want it this colour. I want, like, strip on that. I want it glittery. And I'm like, no, it's just going to be white. It's okay. It's going to be lovely. So I was talking to them. And, you know, started painting up, and we then started moving it into different parts of other staff members because there's too many furniture and they experienced some things. So it was quite overwhelming. I unfortunately lost my fiance in a car accident in 2014, just before Christmas. No, it's cool. And he was quite a driving force behind this business. And I felt quite a big pull to it. I felt his energy quite a lot of protection. It came to a point where I could actually turn around and actually feel his skin. Obviously, I couldn't because he's not a living form anymore. I felt that I had to throw it up to the universe because that's what I believe in. And if it's meant to be that I'm chosen to help people, then I will then put it out to the universe to attract like-minded souls that would help me to achieve that. Because you can't heal everybody on your own. Do you know that?
Yes.
So I've been fortunate enough to meet some extremely talented people. And they've just helped me to put this business together, which is phenomenal, in 7 weeks. It's running very well. So he's been quite a big part of the centre, and I feel his energy in there immensely. And I didn't say too much to the other staff members that work there and subcontractors that come in to rent the rooms. They actually feel his energy in there. And of course, you know, the people that work there, they bring in their loved ones too. And we're literally not in that shop on our own on a daily basis. We've had pictures fall off the wall and I keep putting them back and I'm like, you're funny, ain't you? Like, leave them on the wall. It's got to stay on there. It looks nice, you know, and then off it comes again. We've had the music just stop for no reason. We've done a lot of healing in there because there's a few of us that are Reiki healers. I don't know if you're aware of what Reiki is.
Yes.
Yeah, cool, wicked. I'm going to have to go down that road then. Thank you very much.
You're safe, don't worry.
Thank you. we see quite a lot of magical stuff in the rice suite, which is named after my fiance. And there's some serious energy in there, which Mickey actually picked up as well when he came to see us. The other week. So basically we're just helping people in all areas of their life. We do readings there and we try and pick out the best mediums to, you know, because there is some dodgy ones out there. Sorry if anyone's listening. And we like to give really good facts that their loved one is literally in that room and passing on a message that they really need at the time. They also have a Reiki session after that, so we mix and match our therapies. And basically, it's just so active in there. It is just phenomenal. There was a couple of lads on Friday night outside drinking beer. I didn't feel quite fearful, but up comes my fiancé to say, lock that door. And I was like, really? Like, I can just look after myself. I'll be all right. Lock the door. And it was such a big force, like, to really go over the floor and put that padlock on, and then off they go, you know. So yeah, it's just some really beautiful things that happen at this centre. So if you're ever over here,
hold on one second,
please come in.
Yeah. Okay, I gotta do a quick interruption right here.
Yeah,
we have actually Jan McDonald, who is going to be the author of the book that Mickey was talking about. She's on right here to join the conversation.
Oh, good. Cool.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, Mickey. How are you?
Oh, my God, she's live. Oh, my God. Let me come back. Sorry. Jan's always had technical problems with getting through to the show, and Jan's live. I can't believe it. Jan, how are you, hon?
I'm okay. I'll be trying since 10 o'clock.
Oh my, well, it's so nice to hear your voice. I can't believe you're live. I mean, thank you, and you deserve a round of applause for getting this far.
I made it.
It's like a massive achievement. I've done it. I've made it.
It is.
For those who don't actually know, Jan McDonald is a published and accomplished author. She's a number one selling author in... Well, I'll let you fill in the rest, Jan, because there's so much of it now that I can't even remember. But her books are amazing. The whole series of Mike Travis Paranormal Investigator books are just an amazing series. You've got to get hold of one of these books. But we asked Jan not too long ago if she wouldn't mind writing the book for us, and she's agreed. So I'm over the moon because, again, you know, when we do these projects, you don't want the wrong people to be involved. And again,
yeah,
it seems like divine intervention because I personally could not bring this amount of good people together, and it just seems to happen every time we do an event like this. So I'm grateful for the powers that be that enabled this to happen for us. But Jan, gosh, it's so great to hear your voice.
Oh, well, I made it. As I said, I was going to try, and I persevered.
That's good news. It's good news. It's Skype has to be the most awkward thing in the world to try and get working. If you can't get Skype working, don't ever feel embarrassed. I mean, I've came across many a technical problem, and I've also spoke to people on Skype, and I've sort of gave up hope in the same breath. I'm like, oh, I can't do this. It's too confusing. But no, good to have you on it. Now, you were saying you're an author, and you write. What was the types of books you wrote about? A paranormal investigator, was it?
Yeah, it's a series of paranormal fiction that's doing really well. So,
oh, cool.
I've got a lot to be thankful for, and yeah, it like Mickey said, serendipity. You know, we kind of met on the internet, and he's kind of taken me into the family, which is great.
That's a good place to be. Plus, as well, when you get to meet Mickey, I bet you'll make her a good cup of coffee. I'm still waiting for mine. He promised me a cup of coffee once, I never got it. Still waiting.
I'll hold him to that. I'll hold you.
You can have mine. You never made me mine. But I mean, as for paranormal background, do you have a paranormal background as an investigator, or are you just as an author?
Well, kind of a bit of both, really. I've always been interested in the paranormal, right from being a kid, you know, and you know how it goes.
Yeah.
And,
God, yeah.
So when it came to what to write, it was a no-brainer. You know, I was going to write about the paranormal one way or the other.
Yeah.
Decided on a series about paranormal investigators, so I did an online, all purely theoretical investigator course. And still to go on an investigation, Mickey.
Oh, yes, indeed. We've got loads for you.
I'm sure I heard a small hint there. Mickey, yeah. Need an investigation, Mickey.
Definitely. You're definitely coming over. And we've got space on our couch for you as well.
Oh, no.
Excuse me, sorry.
Yeah, that's look, I'm looking forward to coming down to where, because that's not too far from here. And I think we were talking about the ancient Ramin, weren't we?
The ancient Ramin. I know a few people who've done the ancient Ramin. Some of them love it. One of them actually done a Zumba dancing in there when they were meant to be investigating. Don't ask me what it was about. Do you remember, Kate, do you remember Cats?
Yeah, they were great, actually.
Yeah, we interviewed two individuals from a group called Cats, or Calamityville Horror. They got a YouTube channel with some YouTube series on the go, and when they were meant to be investigating in the ancient Ramin, they sort of stopped the investigation, and whilst one of their team is panning the camera around to look at another angle, all you can see is these two team members doing Zumba dancing. And so they just sort of stopped to start Zumba dancing. I thought it was absolutely hilarious myself. It was like, that's how I'd like to investigate from here on out. I'm just going to dance instead. It's easier. But no, the ancient Ramin.
You say that you don't actually dance when you investigate?
Sometimes I do. I've been known to do the running man instead of catching EVPs. It can happen. I can do the worm.
Mo, what I wanted to ask you, okay, I know you've got a few investigations under your belt, but I want to ask you, when you go out there, you go out there focused because you want to do the investigation, you want to get the stuff right. But, you know, it never happens the way we want it to work.
Hell
and
no.
What I want to know from you, Mo, not so much Kurt, because I know Kurt's, all Kurt's embarrassing problems I already know, but Mo, when you're out there, what's the biggest fuck-up that you've ever come across?
Right, okay, first things first, right, the biggest fuck-up you've just came across is thinking that I go into it with a mature head. We jump in the car, there's five team members, we jump in the car like big children, right, laughing and joking, picking on each other, pulling on each other's seatbelts, hiding shit on each other. I have fell into a grave, I have fell into a field full of water, one of our lads dropped a full tray of McDonald's coffee all over the floor in front of everybody. And all we could do was say, you need to buy new coffees, you broke the old ones. What else has happened? I've tried to jump a fence and jumped into the fence and fell over the fence.
Nice.
Falling into the field was my worst one. Because when I say I fell into a field, you know the farmer's fields have got a bit of a dip in them where they sort of sink a little bit? water had collected into the point where it, some kind of fell into it, and there's about a foot of water, and I went sliding straight into it. Now, that has to be the biblically worst thing I've ever done, because then bear in mind, there was three other members of our team there with cameras.
Oh.
Yeah, see where that went? I never lived that one down very well. Now, luckily, they never caught photos of me falling, but for the rest of the night, I did notice a lot of flashing going on behind me. I was thinking, we're meant to be investigating. I'm sure they're taking photographs of me. And there's about 45 shots of me covered in mud.
But well, that's falling, what we want.
Yes.
That's what we want. We want people covered in mud. You know, you don't want to see Zach Bagans in his pecs, and, you know, you don't want to see that. You want to see shit-covered Northerners.
Yeah. That's all you need to know. I look like a burglar at the best of times. Didn't fucking help me at all. But there was one other thing that happened to us, but not with me. It wasn't me, but it happened to our group. And two of our, I'll call them individuals, are outside of a property, investigating the outside whilst we're investigating the inside. I had an audio recorder set on a tripod outside, and all of a sudden, you'd hear a zip and a load of trickling. They went for a wee right next to me voice recorder.
Oh, no.
And all you can hear is them weeing and like sort of talking away to somebody. It was talking away to the other team member. And then I thought, well, did that really happen? And then I heard a giggle, and that was it. Well, anyway, it turns out the person knew the voice recorder was there, and he picked that place to have a wee in the, for that exact purpose, just to wind me up. When, you know, when you're trying to, because I listen to a lot of, I do a lot of review of the audio when I'm walking to and from work. And you know when you're walking to work and you're plodding down the road, next minute you zip, trickle. You're like, oh, for fuck's sake, there's always one team member. There's always that one fucking idiot. Well, anyway, yeah, I've got a long, long array of shit that I've done wrong when I've been out and, you know,
Didn't you fall, you were telling me at one show that you guys were in a cemetery, like the real old abbey or something. And,
yeah.
You know,
when
with
the grave pit.
And graves.
Yeah.
And you fell backwards into the indentation, which would have been on the body itself because of, you know, they didn't use, you know, concrete to put the casket in. It's just,
the casket
just dust at that point.
Yeah, the casket had sunk into the grave. What happens is the weight of the soil and the water against decaying wood, a casket will sink. Eventually, it'll just collapse in on itself, and the ground will drop. In very old cemeteries, you see it quite a lot, the ground drops about 7-8 inches deep. And it was grassed over, and I'm standing there taking a photograph. I went to take a step, and there was nothing there, and I just fell straight back into this void. And I was like, whoa. And you know when you'd expect the support of your teammates? All I got was Aaron looking at me going, gobshite. And that was it. I got the look, and I got gobshite. I was like, thank you very much. But yeah, I've got a long array of shit that's happened to me. I once called, we had voice... Sorry.
Mo. What I find the most annoying is, you know, when you go home after an event and you've got like six voice recorders and you've got to listen to all of them.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you listen through one and you hear this.
I've heard it. Yeah, done it.
And you think, no one was in that room at the time. And you listen again. And you think, there's definitely no one in that room. It's got to be paranormal. And then you hear someone go, oh, thank fuck for that. That and stomachs rumbling, that's the worst bit that you can ever have when it comes to reviewing evidence, is the same old...
Dude, I had this... We've done a... I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a place called Newsham Orphanage or Newsham Asylum, whatever it's called, whatever name they give it this week. It's a big old building in Liverpool. It's a massive old orphanage. And it is literally about 500 metres away from where I live. Right? I had, again, an audio recorder set up in a room. We'd went on one of the event nights just to get access to the building. We said to the event planners, you get us the access to the building, we'll leave you the fuck alone, you leave us alone. We'll go one way, you go the other. And they were like, fine by me. So we'd done it. And I set up a voice recorder in an area that I'm pretty sure nobody was going to be in, right? And about maybe an hour and a half into the recording, I just heard somebody burst out into laughter. Right? It scared the shit out of me because I wasn't paying attention. You know when you sort of, you're listening, but you're sort of dazed a little bit, or you daydream a little bit, and the next minute you just hear the giggle, this like hysterical giggle. Well, it turns out somebody had walked through the room, tripped on something and burst out laughing or something like that. oh, dude, I scared the living shit out of me. That was the only time I've ever gone, like, Jesus Christ, and shit myself. That was hilarious, though, nevertheless. But this is, you think you're trying to catch, you know, evidence of the paranormal, and all you're really doing is catching other people fucking about. But, there again, yeah, or farting, yeah, welcome to the paranormal. That's all I've got to say. It's just, welcome to hell. I love it.
There's one thing that I really enjoy about the investigations. When you're out there on your own, we've got a fairly big group, and what we've done is we've condensed the group now into a core group. So when we go out now, we're investigating four-story buildings with just four investigators. So now you're not listening for other investigation contamination. You're listening to natural sounds, because all of a sudden the fight or flight starts kicking in, and you start thinking, there was a noise behind me and there's no team member, so what am I going to do? And that's when it starts to get interesting, because you don't want to react to it or engage it, but you kind of want to, but you don't feel that you should, because you're on your own, and you get someone else down. They come down and you're sat there and nothing's happening, and then they go back up and then it happens again.
I'd shit myself.
Well, this is it. We've got to that point now where the team are starting to shit themselves, and the evidence is actually starting to fold or unfold, and it's becoming, you know, it's becoming a bit more credible because you've got less people. So for now on, I mean, with regards to public events, we'll still keep our public events in low numbers so that we can enjoy it. But the investigations, we only do a maximum of four people per team now, and it works really well. I mean, amazingly well. Because just imagine, I mean, being in a building, for example, the primary school that we did recently, there was one member on every floor, and you know, we could hear footsteps in the hallways in front of us and in between the classrooms, and there was no one there. And it's just weird how you can actually hear the footsteps and you believe it's somebody coming towards you that is human, but then all of a sudden you find that there's no one there. So, you know, you think, well, could it have been someone upstairs? Could there be someone there? But you know for a fact that you caught that on tape. And when you listen to it, it just sounds like another member. It's just amazing the quality of evidence we're getting these days. So, yeah, I can't wait to get out there again.
Dude, that's the right way to do it. But, do you know, I sort of agree, and that's why Ghost Adventures initially got it right. They had three team members, and each team member watched the other team member with a camera. They had a plan.
Yeah.
And when it first started off, they'd done it right. Now it's obviously for a different purpose. They just want to scare people. That's all it is. And back when you keep it, if you can keep a team small, you'd eliminate outside noise, you'd eliminate outside interference, and you've got a better chance. Sounds weird saying you've got a better chance with a smaller team, but you do have a better chance with a smaller team of catching decent evidence. It turned out sadly to be a bit of fact. Yeah. Now, we as a team, we're limited as a team size-wise. I mean, not because of any other reason other than the fact that I think taking 10 people out to a place is a bit futile. I mean, all you're going to be doing is creating noise after noise after noise, so there's no purpose for it. But, I think the way you do it, the way you've done it for the past few years, the way you've done it, it's been right. You've got it right. And when you say, you know, got no evidence, blah, 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 or when you're concerned, well, you're never concerned when you get no evidence, because when you get no evidence, you've done something right. Area's been fine, there's nothing there. So I mean, you've always done it right, and I've always applauded you for that. It's not a problem. I just wish more groups would pay attention to the way you do it, obviously the way I try to do it, and stop. Like, I mean, I've came in contact with groups, one of them was in Anglesey, and they were all pensioners. When I say pensioners, they were all like, you know, they were getting on, they all had fucking head torches on.
Are you taking the piss again, mate?
Oh no, these were in the 70s, dude. These were bad. You're in your like mid to late 20s, of course, clearly. But these were like all wearing head torches, exactly the same type of torch. They all wore the same equipment and had all the same gear. But they were like, one of them would turn around to talk to the other one and blind them with the torch, and then the other one would turn around and go, "You blind me and blind them," and it was like National Lampoon's Investigating. It was fucking hilarious. I have to admit, if I ever come in contact with that group again, men or women, I'm going to try assassination options. I'm going to try something to get them off the planet. I think they just fucking ruin it for the rest of us. So, they're absolutely fucking evil. But I'm going to leave me rant where that's concerned there, but nevertheless, plodding on. So, anyway, Mickey, what's new for this year? I know you've told us about your project that you've got gone, but what have you got a plan for the long term?
Mm-hmm.
Don't interrupt your coffee there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What have I got planned? Oh, gosh. What have I got
planned? Oh, his mouth is full, dude.
Mickey loves this.
Boy, behave yourself. What I've got planned, first of all, I'm going to go to the gym.
Yep.
I'm going to get some muscles. Then I'm going to get a brand of clothing.
And then tight t-shirt.
I'm going to write a book. And then I'm going to open a shop to do with paranormal donuts.
Cool.
For paranormal investigators in mind.
Got it. Buy a house that's reputedly haunted, right?
Well, why would I want to buy a haunted house?
Well, you know.
$35,000, you can do it.
Yeah. Zach,
I can buy one that Zach Baggins bought, apparently.
Yeah,
exactly.
Zach Baggins bought one, didn't he? Go for it.
You know
yeah,
what makes me
laugh? He bought it.
Zach's a TV star. Big everything. Everything on Zach is big. Trust me. And he buys this little £35,000 dwelling, whereas you've got people like Richard Felix who goes out and buys Derby Jail.
Yeah. See, weird with Felix, I'm not sure where to stand on him. Should I be not a believer, but should I think what he does is right? Or should I believe that he's a fucking queef? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think, personally, I think he's a pretty good historian. Didn't really do that well on Most Haunted, but I think he's all right. But I've got to say that because he's working with our friends, you know, Scariest Places, and he's working in close conjunction with them. So, you know... Dick Felix, or Richard Felix, Mary Calora, and Annette Pilding. I can't wait to see their new episode, which incidentally is out on Friday.
Yes.
The new episode of Scariest Places. If you don't know Scariest Places, it's the Most Haunted spoof, and it's worth watching.
Yes.
We had the pleasure of working.
I saw the ad for it. Yeah.
Did you? Well, we worked
with
the
guys. Yeah, I saw it on Facebook, and it started laughing. Hey, what what happened to the what was her name? The girl.
Bernie.
Bernie. What happened to Bernie?
Bernie's got some personal issues, so she's taken a little bit of time out just to deal with something in the family. But the other girl has taken over. She looks surprisingly, uncannily like Yvette Pilding.
She looks
like
creepy.
Exactly like her.
Yeah.
She does, doesn't she? I'm going to try and dig up an image of her for my team. There she is. Doesn't she look like Yvette Fielding?
She really does, She could put part of her double, go out and do, like, signing, pretend to be her.
That shit's unnerving how much they look like each other, you know.
Yeah.
That is scary, isn't it? And you know, of course, Michael, who plays Mary Calora, I mean, he was brilliant. The character Mary Calora is a piss take of Derek Acora, of course. And he's just so funny. He's got the accent right. Obviously, he's from your neck of the woods. Also, Mo, just if you've not been in touch with the guys, I think you should, because I think they'll join you on one or two investigations. Apart from the fact that they do take the mickey out of Most Haunted, they are serious about the paranormal as well. They do have a genuine interest. And after we were filming at the nuclear bunker, when filming ceased, you know, the guys did come along and join us on the investigation, and they had a thoroughly good time. So, they're good laugh, you know, good laugh.
Definitely grab contact with
them. A few hours with.
What'd you say?
So I like Richard Felix. Who said that? Oh, Andy Henton. Sorry, sir, I didn't see you there. He likes Richard Felix. I like Richard Felix.
Yeah.
He bought Derby Jail, and not being funny, we want to investigate Derby Jail as well. So, yeah, we got to keep him sweet, I think.
Mickey, here's a serious question for you. Very serious question for you now. Do you think Andy...
All right, hang on a minute. Let me put my serious underpants back on.
Go ahead, you're okay.
There you go.
Right. Do you think Andy loves Dick?
Oh, most definitely.
I think Andy loved it.
Andy Henson was there when we did, when Scariest Places were filming. What they did for us, they did a little comedy sketch, a little personal one, which I filmed and will be broadcast at some stage later in the year. But they did a comedy sketch for us. It was really funny, but unfortunately, they picked on Andy a little bit.
Huh.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Andy just put up in the chat room, oh yeah. Is that, oh yeah, you love Dick, or oh yeah, like, I love Dick? I don't know. Either way, I think, Andy, you're a legend. The shit you come out with is amazing. Do you know what? You're funny. I don't know if, do you run it? Have you got Instagram? First things first. Mickey.
Yeah.
Have you got Instagram?
Not as yet, no. We're still driven by Steam in this part of Hertfordshire.
Oh, gutted. Nevertheless, Andy's got Instagram, if I remember correctly. Let me just double check. And I know for a fact, every once in a while on social media, the guy sits in my corner. He's a legend, you know. Comes in useful. I like him. Do you know what, though, to be fair? Ever since I've been on the radio, with you guys and with Kurt, you don't have come. You really don't. You get to meet some really good people, but in the same breath, you actually get to meet some absolute lunatics as well. We've had some absolute amazing people on, and also off air, people have contacted me off air in the past, and have been, how can I put it, eccentric, to say the least.
Yeah, talking of eccentric, have we still got Jan McDonald?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Hi.
Okay, Jan, can I ask you a question?
What's that?
Why are you eccentric? Just need to know this now. I'm curious.
I guess I was just born that way.
Would you go as far as saying you're like Kate Bush flailing in the wind style eccentric, or would you like, you're one of those people who, you know, I don't know, wears Doc Martens and a dress? I don't know.
I guess I'm a bit goth and people.
That's cool.
That's me.
That's not eccentric for the paranormal, though, to be fair, you know.
Well, no, it is for South Wales, trust me. That's my little village, you know, people cross the road.
That's one way of looking at it. But
most, if we're honest,
yeah.
The reason I approached Jan is because it would be really good to have someone on our team that can actually do writing joined up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she can do that.
So she doesn't use crayons and circular paper?
No, she can't cut
something.
She can actually write, and she doesn't need a spell checker, which is fantastic.
Do you know what the best part about it is? She's actually higher up the food chain in the paranormal than we are right now, just on the grounds that she could spell. That's impressive.
She can spell, yeah. This is why we wanted a bit of class, you know, with the team. So we approached Jan, and yeah, we got a bit of class behind us. And she's got a reputation, a bigger one than mine. So.
Steady on, Mickey.
Oh, yeah, that's impressive.
But do you know what? It's going to be, like, for me, and to be quite honest, this little project that I'm embarking on, it's not just a project about NLPI. We've got a lot of people involved. It's famed for the Vampire Highgate Vampire Appreciation Society.
Yes.
We've also got Patsy Langley.
Yes.
She's from the British Psychic and Occult Society as well, which is run by David Farrant and, you know, obviously David's wife, Deborah.
David Farrant. Isn't he the gentleman from, he runs the Highgate Foundation or whatever it's called?
We're actually amongst some very experienced professionals. I mean, David has got over 45 years experience in the paranormal field. So, you know, when we talk to people, we talk to people with experience. We don't go and speak to John Smith, who's just started up a Kiss My Ass paranormal investigations. You know, we go and speak to people that have actually done it. When we saw this, when we had the incident where we witnessed the apparition in Highgate, the first thing we did, we tried to keep it quiet from the press, and we went to David and said, you know, we know you're investigating the Highgate vampire, but what we saw wasn't a vampire. It was completely different. So we gave him our report, and for once, in my life, I felt like I was a victim rather than a paranormal investigator, because that was the time when we had no equipment with us whatsoever. And it was a little bit scary because I felt a little bit naked. You know, I had my girlfriend, I had a medium with me, and that incident happened, and we had no cameras to prove it. There was no way of proving what had happened. And it was just perfect. You know, it's just a cemetery, Highgate Cemetery, and a 7-foot-tall figure. You know, you can't ask for more. But unfortunately, we were off duty at the time, so we could never have filmed anything or got the phones out in time because we weren't expecting it. And in hindsight now, wherever I go, I've always got the phone ready or a camera ready just in case, because you just never know when that opportunity will present itself. But it did make me feel vulnerable because I felt for the first time like how my clients would feel when they come and report an incident to us. You know,
yeah.
Did they think I'm crazy? You know, do they think I'm lying? Do they think I'm mistaken? And this is all the feelings and emotions that I've been through. So I would imagine when people report their stories that they're doing the same thing. You know, do they feel I'm nuts? You know, do they think I've just had a bottle of scotch before? You know, but... Or a joint, yeah, but we don't. We take things absolutely seriously with these guys, and we look at every aspect of what they're saying, and we see if there's any correlation with any other reports. And if there is, we start to build pictures, look at patterns, and identify those patterns, and see what results we get. Sometimes it's paranormal, which is great, but other times, you know, majority of the cases are inconclusive.
Yes. I mean, we've all came across it where you'll question what you catch or you'll question the evidence that comes forward. But, I mean, sometimes it's a leap of faith if you do have something, if you have a piece of evidence and you think maybe this is where it's showing. I mean, you guys have caught some really good evidence in the past. But in the same breath, it's a bit of a losing battle at the moment because everybody expects spectacular evidence like... What Ghost Adventures pulls through, where everything's just scary good, and it's just not like that.
You know what else I found weird as well about the whole paranormal psychic thing? You know my feelings on fakes and people that claim to be psychic and mediums and so on. I absolutely hate it. And, you know, we at one stage used to bury these people, but unfortunately they take it quite personally, you know. So I've done away with burying people that claim to be mediums, especially when they post an image and say this is paranormal, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be told something's paranormal. I want to find out for myself. But something that caught my eye recently was a young lady by the name of Josie Cunningham. Now her name might ring a bell, certainly in the UK, because she had a boob job on the NHS.
Yes.
Do you remember that girl?
Yep, indeed.
Right, well, listen to this. She's from Leeds, and I'm looking at her Twitter feed now. Somebody asked whether we would...
He's actually looking at her picture.
I'm looking at her
picture. Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Well, somebody asked recently on Twitter whether we would interview her, and I said, well, why would we need to interview her? Now, according to the Daily Mail, she's now charging £70 an hour for psychic medium readings.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that?
What else do you get with the reading? I don't get it.
Well,
let's not go
there,
eh?
You'd probably get a couple of black eyes or donuts or whatever.
You look at her NHS boobs.
Yeah, NHS boobs. I mean,
yeah, keep
I can just imagine going into like an NHS boob shop and you see, well, those are the cheap NHS ones and those are the private ones, you know. But interestingly, if you have a look at her Twitter feed, she's got a website advertised there and it's easysingles.co.uk.
Easy Singles. this is embarrassing.
Have a look now, Mo. I know you're going to subscribe, and the mission statement is, I want to connect to like-minded singles. A laid-back approach to online dating with no fuss, no arguments, just fun.
I'd like to know. You know, you're not going to argue. You know, when you meet somebody like. We're not gonna argue, don't worry. How do you know? You're not gonna meet each other and go, well, it's you. I remember you. Bastard. And there's a big kickoff. But then again, she's trying to get famous and a nickname for this and a risk of sounding sexist, so I do apologise to anybody who's listening who's female. But have you ever heard the saying attention whore?
Yeah.
Oh yes, definitely.
Therefore you go, attention whore. That's all that's going on.
Well,
and you know
certainly
what?
Coming to the right business, the paranormal business, because half of the people, not being funny, and with all due respect, there's a lot about people out there that want attention. You know, not being funny, but I find it really, I think it takes the piss. When you get a paranormal group that's gone out on a Friday night, they've gone into their local pub, John's decided that, all right, I'll have a little bit of a lock-in until 1 o'clock. They've turned up with their little poxy ghost meter, and they sit there on the table, and it flashes once or twice, and they go, fuck me. We've got a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, big window, buses going past, people walking past with cans of beer, and they've got a ghost. That's just
oh, can I? I'm gonna lose a lot of I'm going to actually not go out my way to lose a load of friends here, but I'm going to lose a load of friends anyway. But have you ever seen the investigations, whenever you watch anybody on YouTube and the investigations, and you'll see them sit there and go, can somebody make a noise? And then you'll just hear like a tap about 12 miles away, and everybody in the room will start going, oh, thank you, can you do that again? What are you thanking them for? Like, can you make a noise? And you just got this vision of like a spirit just sitting there and flicking a penny going, haha, I'm going to scare the shit out of you now. And then what happens? You thank them. You fucking geniuses, you thank them. Do you know, it frustrates me. That's the simplest thing with investigations, is the way people talk on investigation. And again, back to the pub, what you were saying about pubs and lock-ins and stuff like that, and people being quite a charlatan or quite half-assed in the way they do it. Everyone does it their own way. Just some people's way is just fucking weird. It really is. It really is weird.
Absolutely. I mean, I've said this many, many times before. There's no reason why people can't go out as thrill seekers. If you want the thrill of the chase, you know, like you want to go fox hunting, go fox hunting. You know, if you want to skydive, skydive. If you want to chase ghosts, chase ghosts. But don't call yourself a paranormal investigator if you can't be asked to put pen to paper at the end of it and put notes down so other people can benefit from what you've just done. That's not paranormal investigating. That's just thrill seeking. And this is my big problem. Because why the hell am I taking 2 years out of my life to research a town that I know very little about, but has got some very historic ghost stories?
Yes.
And it's also got some amazing buildings. I mean, we went into a hairdresser's salon, and amazingly, this has got a fireplace which is bigger than the shop itself. So the fireplace has come from another dwelling, possibly a coaching inn. And it's also got locks on the doors that are the biggest brass locks that I've ever seen. Certainly, they're old. I mean, they're definitely old. I don't know how old they are. But I'm going to get a historian along to these locations so that we can verify whether the building that it is today was part of another building. Because it seems that, you know, the fireplace is just twice as big as all the other shops in the area. So that will either suggest to me that it's a working fireplace, i.e. it's like bread oven and so on. So it could have been a kitchen, or it could have been a pub. If it was a pub, then, you know, what happened to it? How comes the chimney stack's still there, but the rest of it's disappeared?
Yeah.
So this is part of our research to find out, you know, a little bit of the historic makeup of the dwelling.
Yeah.
In that process, we hope to identify the individuals that were there or the business uses that they had, and also to look at the area and try and work out where the old river, because this town is on a river as well, so it's very significant. It's been the only place in Europe that has had occupation for over 10,000 years.
Oh, and that's cool.
Yeah, so, you know, when they excavate places like Glaxo, there's a Glaxo welcome site. They're coming up with lead-lined coffins with bodies in them that are X thousand years old. I mean, this site is amazingly active, and it's got a lot of history. That's why we've focused on this particular thing. Now, I can go to a pub every night of the week, and what will I get? A flashing EMF ghost detector. Well, what the fuck is that going to teach me about paranormal? Nothing at all. So this is why we do what we do. We have archaeology, we have historians, we look at plans, we look at the makeup, and then we go in and do the investigations to see whether there's any correlation between what's going on and what has been going on. And even after that, some of the evidence that I've got now, I'm still reviewing. And, you know, we're 2 years after the fact. So how someone could put a report a week after they've done the old pub down the road, I really don't know. I'm just gobsmacked. Really, I truly am.
The easy answer is taking 12 photographs and having 20 minutes of audio and saying it's an investigation. That's exactly what you probably find it is. I've been out with other groups in the past, and they've been really, really serious, hardcore. When you say hardcore, you know, really into what they're doing. And then they'll get a camera out and take like about 14 pictures, a little bit of audio, and go, right, we're done. Right, okay, thank God you're not a mechanic doing an MOT, because pretty much you just scan the area and fucked off. Good luck with that, guys. And we've spent hours and hours more than they have there. We've still got evidence to review in certain places like that, but you know, better to have more than not enough, as the saying goes, especially with photographic and audio. Sorry, photographic and video evidence is concerned. It's better to have miles more than not enough. I'd rather be swamped under with pictures than not have enough to go through. Not having enough to go through is just a bit, you might as well have not finished what you went there to do in the first place. But, mad rant out the way again.
What's this? We're always having a mad rant. Talking of mad rant, how is Kurt?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm listening to the Mo's mad rant.
I've got this fucking thing about going on rant at the moment. I don't know what it is.
No, Mo goes on rants and I sit there and listen because I usually agree with the rant. I don't have to waste my energy doing the same like rant or something similar to that rant. So it's always easier to let Mo take care of it first. So that way I'm not all burned out by like 5 minutes late or just telling somebody to fuck themselves or something like that. So I prefer. This isn't quite the show for it. We've had shows where we were just telling people basically F off and this and that, and we go on, we have our moments. It's all in good fun though.
Do you know what? I so miss not doing the Friday night show with you, Kurt. I really do miss it. You got no idea how much I miss that show.
You disappeared for a while, bro. That's one thing I wanted to ask. You disappeared. And people were asking me where you were. And I was like, I have no idea. And then I figured out what was going on, you know, family and stuff like that. So, yeah, people were wondering. And so,
I missed you.
The show was fun, dude.
You missed me. Well, that's great. Yeah. You know, it's always nice to get out of prison.
Yeah, well, you know, not every time a scouser gets out of prison, it's a rare occasion.
It's like summer
camp. The time, Kurt, as well, because without the time off, I don't. We needed that time to get our baby back to
to
health.
Yeah, dude, you had, and I understood that. You know, I mean, you had bigger issues, a lot bigger issues going on than you know what I'm talking about. And I knew it. I knew what was going on, but you know, other people, it's just personal business. That's all I'd say, personal business. And leave it at that. So I mean, it's better, you know. You got to take care of your family. I mean,
yeah, we had to. But listen, we are back.
Oh shit! No, I'm messing. That's all good.
We are back. All right,
guys.
We're going to go back to the way we used to do things, Kurt. I think when we do the Friday night show, we might change it to Saturday. But I think we're going to have some fun with that as well. Be lots to talk about. Plus, I'm also looking forward to do live broadcast from our investigation. So we could, and fingers crossed, we could be doing live video feeds.
Oh, cool.
Oh, dude, that would be cool.
Would you like that?
Definitely.
Oh, that would be cool as hell. So, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to play the ending song. I want to thank Mickey Gokul and crew, Jan McDonald, and the two young ladies who... Hell, I don't even know their names, and I apologize.
Kim and Carolyn.
Live in where?
Kim and Carolyn, yeah. Thanks for having us on your show.
Thanks very much,
bye.
Guys.
Oh, you guys rock.
See you later.
On that note,
good luck with Wings of Light, okay?
Bye. Wings of Light.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Take care, guys.
There's
a sad sort of clanging from the clock in the hall and the bells in the steeple, too. And up in the nursery, and a bird is popping out to say cuckoo.
Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Regretfully they tell us, but firmly they compel us to say goodnight to you. I'll be the same.